I have three children. Yeah, he's the baby. And as you can see, there's no self-esteem problem here. But I remember at each of their births that when the baby was brought into the room, either consciously or unconsciously, Doris would hold her hands, you know, and she just rubbed, you know, because I now know what she was doing. She was counting fingers. She'd rub feet. She's counting toes because she wanted to make sure that the baby was born with everything the baby was supposed to be born with. And she did that with each of our children. Okay. And I can always remember us saying, we just thank God he has blessed us with children who are healthy. Okay. He blessed us with children who are healthy. Well, about 7 years ago, getting into the Word and seeing some things in the Word made me question whether or not that is it God who really gives us children, okay? And the reason that came to mind is because this morning, on Tuesday, Doris and I were at Wright State because Danny Glover was there. And there were a lot of young folks there in wheelchairs because they couldn't get around. There were folks there who had CNI dogs, all of those sort of things. And I know that in the past, and so I'm kind of giving you the answer to the question already before we get into the message, thinking that I'm so, just so blessed that, again, my children were born healthy, and then you were always here, that there is a reason why folks who have birth defects, God made them that way, okay? Well, we're smart enough to know in this church that that's not true, but we have to know why it's not true. Okay, we have to know why it's not true. So this morning, we're going to get into a little bit of the why, okay, that that's not true. So let's take a look at the outline. And so the question is, are birth defects of God? Now, why is the question important? Well, primarily for me, what I was thinking about, it causes parents to question God's goodness. I mean, why would God give my child this birth defect and not someone else's? You know, why did God choose my son, my daughter for this? Okay? And so it creates doubt in your minds. It creates doubts in your hearts about the goodness of God. And you and I both know that when you have doubts about God's goodness, it affects a lot of other things in your life and how you respond to God when things happen. It also teaches us that God makes us the way we are. It teaches us that God makes us the way we are. Okay? I remember when I was growing up, there was a man in our community who had six fingers. And so we would always look at him and say, I wonder why God gave him that other finger. And he always wondered why God gave him that other finger. It was a finger that kind of grew on this one. And he would just wonder why God gave him that finger. I never got an answer to that one. I always asked the question. I never knew. I don't know if he ever found out why God gave him that extra finger. Okay? So it teaches us that God makes us the way we are. Okay? So however you look, however long your hair is, however tall or short, wide or thin, God made you that way based on this question, okay? It also teaches us that everything that happens is God's will. He's in control. The most disturbing things about thinking that God is in control, because it makes you feel like that regardless of what you do, God has already got things worked out, so it doesn't matter what you do, okay? And so, you know what it really does? It relieves you of any responsibility. Hey, God's in control. I have no choice. I have no responsibility, okay? The question also keeps the devil off of the radar screen Because no one ever says that the devil made me this way. It always God made me this way. So it keeps evil, keeps devil, keeps his work off of the radar screen. Now, before we go any farther, I am not saying, nor will I ever say, that Satan is the one responsible for birth defects. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? I'm just simply saying that when we see and we are confronted with bad things, we don't ask Satan's involvement. We always say God's involved in this in some way. Okay? Now, what does the question tell us? It tells us that people believe that God is responsible for human reproduction. Okay? God is responsible for human reproduction. If God is responsible for human reproduction, and Doris and I never got together, then how could we reproduce? We couldn't. We couldn't. Okay? And if God is responsible for human reproduction, remember the story of Hannah? Okay? She was Samuel's mom, and for so long she could not have any children. So if God is responsible for human reproduction, then what we're saying is God did not want her to have any children. Do you see the logic? We're saying God did not want her to have children. And we know that's not true. It was something inside of her that needed to be corrected so she could have children. Okay? So I want you to understand what we're doing here this morning. We're hearing things from God's vantage point, so that when you are out in the community and people say things that are not from God's vantage point, you can say, wait a minute, according to scripture, according to the God I serve, that can't be right. That can't be right. Okay? This question also tells us we don't understand the impact of Adam's disobedience in Genesis chapter 3. Folks, Adam's disobedience, it wreaked havoc in God's creation. It changed atoms. A-T-O-M-S. It changed the molecular structure of things. And you have to understand that. I mean, it's just not he and Eve ate of the tree, they got kicked out and they couldn't go back in. No. No. It changed everything. It changed everything so much that this world is no longer the world that God created. He doesn't recognize this place. He doesn't recognize this place. And yet, we think it's a beautiful planet. And for what we see from where we are, it is. But, you know, when we get to glory and we see the new heaven and new earth, we're going to see what Adam saw. Okay? What this question tells us is we're not really sure how God operates. We're not really sure how he operates. And in my mind, the most important thing this question tells us is we miss the connection between the works of Jesus and the will of his Father. We miss the connection. We see what Jesus did, but somehow we don't see that as being what God wants. And we have to start seeing the thing. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We all know that verse. We can quote that verse. But yet and still, we don't connect that verse to how God operates. Now, do children come from God? Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so, because of one man, it doesn't say God, it says, and so, because of one man, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay? So, how did we get the sin nature? We got it from Adam. I can stop right now. Because that answers that question. I could stop right now. But I got too many more notes to cover. I got too many more notes. Look at verse 19. For if by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man many shall be made righteous. It is because of Adam that we have what we have. It is because of Adam we are who we are. And we're going to see this more clearly in a few minutes. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. So we're at answering the question, do children come from God? Okay? Look at verse 27. So God created man in his image, in his own image. In the image of God created he male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, I'm going to help you be fruitful and multiply. Okay. Did I misread that? Okay. Be fruitful and multiply, and I'm going to help you replenish. No. We have to read what Scripture says without bringing in foreign objects into Scripture. If we just simply read what Scripture says, then I'm going to tell you guys, if we would simply read what Scripture says, if we would believe what we read, we'd walk on water. We would walk on water. It's that simple. Okay? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish. That word replenish means fill. And we're going to see it because it's the same word that is translated fill in verse 22 that we're going to look at. Fill the earth and subdue it. Okay? And that's all I want to read with that one. Now let's go to verse 21 in this same chapter. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which he, with the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. What do we see here? Reproduction occurs after your own kind. Okay? Cats produce cats. Dogs produce dogs. Cats and dogs don't produce catty dogs. Okay? Okay? Humans produce humans. Okay? Horses produce horses. Cows produce cows. Horses don't get with cows and bring forth milk. It's not after its kind. Okay? It's not after its kind. Again, what does Scripture say? Okay? Verse 22. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Isn't this the same commandment he gave to Adam and Eve? And fill the water. See, the word fill is the same word that's translated replenish. Okay? In verse 28, 29. Fill the waters in the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Now, if everything reproduces after its kind, okay, when God reproduced after his kind, who did he get? Adam. Okay? Now, from that vantage point, when Adam reproduced after Adam's kind. Not after God's, after Adam's kind. Because God gave Adam everything he needed to reproduce. Okay? Now see, folks, there are folks who are going to be very, very upset with hearing this because we've all from day one been taught that God gives us children. That this little bundle of joy came from God. This little bundle of joy didn't come from God. This little bundle of joy came from Barry or Don or Jerry. Or Eric, that's where this little bundle of joy came from, because we are the fathers. Okay? God does not have a sin nature. So anything involved on this earth God can't be involved in it until you do Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That's when God can get involved. But until then, God cannot get involved in your life until you do that. So how can God give you children? He can't. It's on you. It's on you. Think about it. Play this out for a minute. If God is the one who gives us children, how loving is God to give a child to a woman who gets raped? How loving is that? It's not. Okay? It's not. If God is the one who gives us children, okay, how can God give Hitler's mom Hitler? How? How can God, if God gives children, give a child to anyone who is not born again? Because if he gives a child to anyone who is not born again, and that child never gets born again, he's already just committed that child to hell. Do you honestly serve a God like that? No, you don't serve a God like that. Okay, I just gave you cake. Now we're going to put the ice cream on it. Look in Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3. Remember how you would read scripture and you start reading these genealogies and you read the genealogies and your eyes start glazing over because you're wondering where this is going. Oh, be so-so begat such and such, such and such begat such and such. Such and such begat such and such. And the next thing you know, you're in Snoozeville. Okay? But we're going to see this morning that God puts this in here for a reason. Okay? We're going to get ready to eat some ice cream. It ain't going to take long. In Luke chapter 3, look at verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, notice the parenthesis, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. Okay? So everyone thought that he was the son of Joseph. Okay? Now, look at the next clause, which was the son of Heli. So, we see here, Joseph's father was Heli, okay? He was the son of. Without Heli, there is no Joseph. Do you see that? Okay, go to verse 38. Go to verse 38. Okay. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Okay? We see here that Adam was the son of God. Okay? Now, we also see here that Seth was the son of God, right? Come on, guys. It shouldn't be this quiet when I ask this question. What does it say? Son of Adam. Do you see that? Okay. Enos, who was his father? Seth. Do you see that? Okay. So how can Seth be God's son? He's not. He couldn't be. He couldn't be. You know why he's not God's son? He's from a different gene pool. He's from a completely different gene pool. Okay? The only person after Adam who's in the same gene pool as Adam is Jesus. It's Jesus. Okay? When we get born again, we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, we get into Jesus' gene pool. Amen. Amen. That's why, folks, you're not a sinner saved by grace. Because, see, if you were a sinner saved by grace, you'd be just like Seth, Enos. You'd have Adam's gene pool. But, see, we're part of God's gene pool. Okay? Now, don't get confused by looking at this body. See, this body is just what allows me to be here. I am a spirit. The body just allows me to be here in this place. Okay? If I didn't have this body, Bear wouldn't be here. So don't look at my body as being the gene pool. It's not. The spirit is the gene pool. Okay? Now, in Luke chapter 1, wasn't that some good ice cream? The only thing you have to do is read it and say, wow, that's what it says. Okay, I guess children don't come from heaven. Okay? In Luke chapter 1, the angel approaches Mary and says, Mary, you're highly favored, and God wants you to have his child. And do you know that the angel stands there until Mary says, be it unto me according to thy word? That, and then you will notice in scripture, that's when he leaves. He didn't make the announcement and then turn around and walk away. Mary had to say yes. Okay? That's how Jesus got here. Mary said yes. Okay? The Holy Spirit never talked to Doris about Ephraim. Now, they had never had a conversation with Doris about Candace. Never had a conversation about Stephen. I love him, but he never had a conversation about it. You know why? It's on me. It's on me. But do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how from Scripture that there is no way God can be involved in our reproductive lives? It's all on us. And so, okay, I won't get, let's look. Okay. The impact of Adam's disobedience. This is really the crux of the matter also. Look in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground. And it says, for thy sake, really it should say, cursed is the ground because of you. The ground would not have been cursed, Adam, if you had not sinned. Cursed is the ground because of you. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. What does that tell us? That before the ground got cursed, there was no sorrow in eating of it. I mean, the stuff just grew. It just grew. But now that Adam cursed it, he's got to work at it. He's got to work at it. Get the picture, people. In Genesis chapter 1, Adam did not have to work for his provision. God provided it. In Genesis chapter 3, once he got to sin nature, he had to go to work to get God's provision. When we were born, when Bear was born in 1956, he was born in Adam's world. He was born just like Adam. He then had to work for his provision until he got born again. God now handles Barry's provisions. You see that? You see how much stuff is in here? Okay. Now, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. There were no thorns and thistles in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Again, Adam's sin wreaked havoc in the molecular structure of this world. There were no storms, there were no tsunamis, no Katrinas. No volcanoes erupting. There was none of that before Adam sinned. It's because he unleashed something so terrible in this world. And it's Satan's hand is what he unleashed. He took the wraps off of Satan's. Before Genesis chapter 3, Satan was bound. He couldn't do anything. But as soon as Adam ate, I'm free. I can wreak havoc. And you see what he did. You see what he did. Okay? Look in Genesis chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, this replenish really does mean replenish, okay? Because he's just, he and his family are the only one that's there. But God says, you be fruitful and you multiply. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands they are delivered. Now, before Genesis chapter 3, and before the flood, there was no fear. There was no fear. Animals, humans cohabitated. That was not unusual. That was nothing. That happened. But after Adam sinned, it changed. It changed. That's why in Revelation it talks about the lamb and the lion who bade us, you know, sit together and all those sort of things. Because it's going to be back to Genesis chapter 1. Okay? Back to Genesis chapter 1. Look in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature or the creation waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the what manifestations is talking about is us receiving our new bodies. Okay? Because you're going to see this in verse 20. For the creation was made subject to vanity, subject to corruption. Why was it made subject to corruption? Because Adam crunched on the fruit. Sin. Okay? Not willingly. See, it was not subject to make subject willingly. It had no choice. No choice. But by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have hope. We have no choice. We get hope. Isn't it something? We get hope. We don't have a choice. We get it once we accept Jesus. Okay? Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, if the creation is in the bondage of corruption, aren't we part of that creation? These bodies that we have, aren't we part of that corruption? Okay? So if we're part of that corruption, there are a lot of things can go wrong with this body. A lot. Okay? That you don't even have a choice about. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but also ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, the first fruits of the Spirit. That's the first fruit. We got the Spirit on the inside. That's the first fruits. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. We're waiting for the completion of the adoption. Okay? We're waiting for the completion. Do you know why we have such a struggle to do God's word? Okay? It's because our spirit and in our bodies, our spirit is groaning within this body. Our spirit says, I want to do this, but this dadgum body won't let me do what I need to do. That's why you groan. That's why you groan. So, let's answer the question. Do children come from heaven? I can't hear you.
No.
Now, don't say no if you really don't believe that. Okay? Say no because you just saw it in Scripture. You saw it in Scripture. Okay? And I've also talked about how when Adam sinned, he changed the molecular structure of this world we live in. Now let me ask you something. If a child is born with something missing, has not that child's molecular structure been changed? If that child is not born seeing, is it not because the molecular structure has been changed? Okay? And see, I am not smart enough to know when a person should have a child or not. Okay, I'm just not that smart. Okay? So, technology now can tell you what's going to happen when you have a boy or a girl. They can now tell you, okay? But you didn't know at the time that you were being intimate with your spouse, okay? So my point in saying all that is this. The bodies we have today, the sin nature played a role in that body. The sin nature played a role in that body. I know some people whose arms, who has one arm longer than the other. I know people who has one leg longer than the other. I know people who have to wear different size shoes. Yeah, I just really did that right, didn't I? I know people who can't talk. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. A birth defect is a random happening in our lives. It's a random happening in our lives. Okay? It's because the reason it's random is because all of us are not born with birth defects. Now, if you talk to Dar, she says, I got mental issues, but okay. And probably most wives probably think that about their husbands, so maybe that is a birth defect. But so you see that birth defects, they happen. They just happen. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no way you can narrow it down. If they just happen. Okay? I'm going to run through this real quick because we should know this. What can we expect from God? Look at 1 John. What can we expect from God when it comes to this issue of birth defects? In 1 John chapter 4, and you know this, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment of our sins. Okay? So if God is love, how can God be involved in anything other than that's going to emanate out of love? And we know that birth defects are not something that you would just normally associate with coming from love. Okay? Look at chapter 1. Don't beat me up. Don't beat me up. Okay? There are statistics that show, and I don't remember the exact number now, that there are women in this country who have abortions because they have found out early enough, or sometime in the, when they're carrying a baby, that the baby is going to have a deformity. So they have an abortion. Okay? Now, let me ask you something. Just because a child is born with a deformity, does it mean that child has to live with that deformity? No, not if you believe God, not if you believe in healing, not if you believe in miracles. It doesn't have to live that way. Okay? But see, the bigger question is this. What right do we, not just women, but we, to say who live and who dies? What right do we have to say who can live and who can die? And that's what we do when it comes to abortion. We decide who live and who dies. Okay? And for a person who know that they're going to have a child who's not going to be normal, as we call normal, and we're going to say, well, I don't have to deal with that. I'm going to abort this child. I don't want to be standing in front of God when that person stands before his or her Heavenly Father. That's not, I don't want that. No. We serve a God of hope. We serve a God of hope. And so, no matter what it looks like, it may not be the ideal situation, it may not be the best situation, but we serve a God of hope. And if you ever lose that sense of hope, John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, this is then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Okay? So that's what we can expect from God. Light, no darkness at all. Okay? No darkness at all. And we know in John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that thou might have life and have it more abundantly. So if Jesus came that we may have life more and have it more abundantly, then isn't it not God's will that we have life and have it more abundantly? Okay. Jesus did what the Father told him to do. First John, we're still there. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, it begs the question, what beginning did the devil sin? From the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, that's the beginning, okay? Because in the beginning, there was only God. So it couldn't have been him sinning from that beginning. It's from our beginning, okay, from the time he put this earth together. So he sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This word destroy means to unloose, to set free, okay, to set free. To loose us from the works of the devil, to set us free from the works of the devil. Okay? And then in John chapter 5, verse 19, I'm going to ask a question after I read this. In John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus said, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Okay? Chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Have I been so long with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Okay? Now, we know that Jesus healed the blind. Okay? Birth defect. Jesus healed a person born lame. Birth defect. Okay? Now, if children come from heaven, then that means that God made them that way, right? Okay? Going back to the thought that children come from heaven. So, if that is the case, then what we see Jesus doing is correcting what the Father did. No. I mean, but think about it. That is exactly what we're saying. Jesus is correcting the Father's mistake. See, we don't think about stuff. We say things and we don't think about stuff. If God is responsible for birth defects and Jesus heals them, either God and Jesus got something worked out, okay, so he gets a little cut on the side, okay, or Jesus is going against his Father's will. And the scripture says he always did his Father's will. So what does that tell us? Birth defects are not the Father's will. And if they're not the Father's will, then they didn't come from heaven. Okay? Now, there are three records of healing or birth defects. John chapter 9, and we're going to look at that one. And then you remember in Acts chapter 3, the man who's laid at the gate called Beautiful. Okay? And then one in Acts chapter 14 is where Paul is walking by, and he sees this man, and this man looks at him expecting. Paul could see that he was expecting to be healed, and Paul heals him. Okay? Now, let's look in John chapter 9. See, John chapter 9, the reason I focus on that one, and I've talked about it in the past a little bit, but I want to focus on a little bit more detail. When you read it as it is written in here, it's almost like God set this up. Okay? It's almost like God set this up. Now, one thing you have to remember about Scripture. You see where it has, John chapter 9, okay? Do you know that there were no chapters originally? There were no verses originally. There were no commas, no colons, no semicolons, no paragraph markings, no marginal notes, okay? No cross-referencing notes. None of that was in Scripture. All of that stuff was added, okay? Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Because how you punctuate something makes all the difference in the world. Okay? Let me give you that. I know I'm going to get to John chapter 9, but I have to give you this example. Remember the thief that was on the cross? And he confessed. And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Okay? Depending on where you put that comma, it changes the whole meaning of that verse. It could be today, Jesus says, "You're going to be with me in paradise. Today I say to thee, you're going to be with me in paradise." If you put the comma at a certain place, Jesus is simply saying that today, because of your confession, you're going to be with me in paradise. You put the comma at another place, Jesus is saying that today, brother, you're going to be with me in paradise. You see what I'm saying? You have to let the context determine what the Scripture means. Okay? Verse 1. "And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth." Blind from birth. Birth defect. "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Okay? The disciples asked that question because that's what they had been taught. Okay? That's what they had been taught. Now see, those of us today, we don't ask that question. We just look at them and just ask that question up here. We don't verbalize it. Okay? We just ask it up here, yeah? Evidently, you did something to make God unhappy. Or someone just... No, you know what we say? Because, see, we really believe that God still curses from the first and fourth generations. So evidently, your mom and dad did something, and this is payback. But see, when you read about cursing from the first and fourth generations, these folks had a sin nature. When you get born again, you don't have a sin nature. So how can you be cursed? Just a thought. Chew on that one, okay? But so the disciples have been taught that there was some sin occurred somewhere in this man's life. Look at verse 3. "And Jesus answered," and we're going to read it just like it's written, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Okay? So when you read verse 3 says, nobody sinned. This man was born blind because God wanted him born blind. Is that what not verse 3 says as it is written? As we see this? And then we see in verse 4, "I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, that the night cometh when no man can work." Now, based on everything we have read this far, is God responsible for this man being blind? Everything we've read so far, the answer is no. So, when you know that God doesn't do things like that, then you see a record like this, you know something is amiss. There's something amiss because God has already told you how he functions. Jesus healed blind people. So we know that. So something is amiss. And what's amiss here is how this verse has been punctuated. Okay? Now, let's go back. Notice that Jesus didn't even answer the sin question. For it was not an issue of sin for Jesus. He says, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. Period. Period. He answered the question. Okay? Then he says, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. Jesus says, now, this man didn't sin, his parents didn't sin. But I must work the work of my Father, and I'm going to manifest these works of my Father in this man. That's the essence of this verse. Okay? Jesus says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, period. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. What Jesus is saying is the man is blind, so God's work is not working in him. Why would he say I must work the works of God if the man was born blind? Because God wanted him blind. Am I the only one who sees this? You see what I'm saying? Because a man is blind, God says, I got to do something. Okay? So the man is no longer going to be blind. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, period. But that the works of God should be made manifest, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And the night he's talking about is the time that he's hanging on that cross. That's the night he's talking about. Okay? As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Did you catch that? Did you really catch that? When you are blind, what do you have? Jesus says, what? I am what? The light of the world. Okay? So, if God is the one responsible for this man being in darkness, and then he sends his son, who is the light, what does that say? I don't know. I don't know what that says, other than something is not right for us to believe that way. Okay? When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. You see that? The doctrine that God caused the blindness cannot be true based on what Jesus did. Okay? Because Jesus says, I do the works of my Father. I do his will. So, John chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, comma, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Amen. You see that? Yep. I knew that, well, I was hoping I knew that when I asked the question, are birth defects of God, that you would know the answer. But see, it's not enough to know the answer. Now you know why you know the answer. And see, that's what we have to do as Christians. We need to know why we believe what we believe. Okay? We need to know why. There have been a couple of occasions when I have gone to the pastor and I have told him, you know, I know the answer, but I don't know why I know the answer. And so it means I have to go back in the prayer closet, spend some more time so that the Holy Spirit can help me understand why I already know the answer. Okay? This is a very, very, very important lesson this morning.
Yeah.
It really is. Because, see, that one, answering that one question answers a lot of other questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, answers a lot of other questions. Okay? Was I born a homosexual? Answers that question. Even though we didn't answer that question this morning, it answers that question. Okay? And a lot of other things that it answers when you really get into God's Word. So my point to you is saying, you've heard the Word this morning, go back until the Holy Spirit gets it in your heart, in your spirit, so you can see it the way He sees it. And then when you have people talking against what the Holy Spirit and what the Word of God says, let them know. And there's a right way to do things like that. You know, you just let them know, well, based on Scripture, God's Word says, blah, 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 blah. And see, you will find out then how many people really believe God's Word. There are a lot of Christians who think they believe God's Word, and they really don't. They really don't. Okay? No rabbit trails today, Barry. I encourage you that when you get home today or whenever you have a chance, take another look at some of this stuff and pray in the Spirit as you do that and let God open it up. And He'll take you to some places in Scripture that we didn't even go today. If you really, really want to know and to understand it. Amen.